Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decad, your rosary on the road. My voice has come back a little bit, so hopefully I won't be coughing my way through this one, since the cough has not gone away. But, you know, it's nice to have a head cold during Passion Week, because the inclination to gripe and moan is somewhat diminished by the fact that we're reflecting on the Passion all week. I don't have any special intentions in the inbox today, and I checked it this morning before I left the house, so if you have sent something in and I didn't see it, I know that I've had some issues with Proton Mail loading maybe the day after. So if I have not seen your intention and you think that I should have seen it today when I'm recording, then that you'll definitely see it tomorrow. Don't get too alarmed. And I usually do try to respond to everybody. I failed in a couple of instances to respond right away, but I am making an effort to try to get back to you. So if you get a response from me, then I have definitely seen your intention and will mention it on the broadcast. In light of the fact that we are where we are right now, today, as you know, is the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and tomorrow, being the Friday in Passion Week, is a commemoration of the seven sorrows of our Blessed Virgin Mary, of our Blessed Mother. And that means that we've got two very important Marian feasts right after each other. And that gives us quite a lot to talk about. Tomorrow, this is a housekeeping thing, I just want to let everybody know, because it's the Feast of Seven Sorrows, I thought it might be nice for us to pray a decad, in quotation marks, decad, since there's not ten, of the Rosary of the Seven Sorrows. And I've got a chaplet that I say every morning for the Seven Sorrows that I think we'll do tomorrow. Today, normal decad of the rosary, but tomorrow we'll do that. I don't have any special intentions in the inbox, as I said, but I encourage you to send those in to dailydecadrequests@protonmail.com. Decad, D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural, @protonmail.com. And in addition to intentions, which I have been getting them, and I'm so happy to have them, I love praying for you. In addition to intentions, by all means, send in questions, too. If I mention a devotion or a practice, or you're scratching your head on a theological point that you think that I might have gotten wrong, I welcome correction, comment, questions. If I don't know the answer, I can certainly point you in the direction of somebody who does, and I would be delighted to do that for you. So please, by all means, send in addition to your prayer requests and intentions, send in any questions that you might have. The whole point of this is to try to draw everybody closer to God. And if I have people scratching their head, I could be drawing you closer to God, or I could just be confusing you. But the only way to find out is if you reach out to me. So please do. For today, we've prayed for priests, we've prayed for parishes, we've prayed for vocations. We've got a lot of different general intentions. Today, and we had a special intention yesterday for courage. Today I want to offer our rosary for a special intention, namely for everyone who is coming into Holy Week, that they will find themselves with access to the sacrament on Easter. Eastertide in the United States is longer than it is almost anywhere else in the world. And in order to allow Catholics to receive communion at least once during the Easter season, the idea being, of course, because we live in a country that is not Catholic, and for most of its history, you know, I would say for most of its history has been, but is still very anti-Catholic, the result is that it's very difficult to be a Catholic, a good Catholic, in the United States. And so many different various accommodations and mercies have been shown by the Church to American Catholics. Our fasting rules are lighter, our Eastertide is longer, all sorts of things. We don't have the full 10 holy days of obligation. All sorts of little allowances have been granted. Whether for good or for worse, for better or for worse, that's, I suppose, for future Catholics to decide looking back on it. But the fact remains that they have been. So, that being the case, it's very easy for us. It's not so easy for our brothers and sisters in Europe or other parts of the world. And so, I want to pray in particular for Catholics outside of the United States who don't have it so easy. I want to pray today for them to have access to the Blessed Sacrament, that they can fulfill their Easter obligation. And if they have access that is not strictly permitted by their government, then I hope that they will have the courage to take advantage of that access and fear God rather than men. We live in a time now of persecution, which is soon to become, I think, fairly universal in the world. And we're going to need a lot of prayers and a lot of divine support for all of us as we move into it. And there are many who will not see this. They won't see the persecution coming. They don't want to. And they'll suffer as a result. And so, for the first part of our prayer today, I'd like to pray for all of those who don't have access to the sacraments, that they will in Eastertide, and that they will not fear any law or any restriction, and they will go and they will receive communion during Eastertide, as is their responsibility as Roman Catholics. And second, for all those who refuse to see how bad things are, I want to pray that their eyes be opened so that they're not caught off guard, because they don't deserve to suffer for their ignorance. They deserve to not be ignorant. And so we'll pray for both of those intentions today. Today is Thursday, so it's English today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, Pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, weeping and mourning from this vale of tears. Turn then, O gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us, and after this our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. For all of those in need of access to the Holy Eucharist, and for all of those who need sight to see, Saint Michael, Saint Raphael, Saint Gabriel, we invoke your intercession as the great voice of God, the commander of the armies of God, the helping hand extended by God to his loyal servants. Intercede before the throne of God, and with thy mighty angelic power do reach down from heaven and open the doors of the churches to those in need of the body of Christ in accordance with the will of God. And open the gates of the eyes of those who cannot or will not see the trials which God sends, that we may be bettered and drawn by suffering nearer to him. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, whose suffering draws all of us nearer to God, and who liveth and reigneth with the Father and the Holy Ghost, co-eternal, one God, world without end. Amen. And for all of our daily struggles, small and great, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now today is the Feast of the Annunciation, which is a joyful occasion, and it's the first of the joyful mysteries. A wonderful feast, and I hope that everyone has an opportunity to make it to Mass. I unfortunately won't. I'm too far removed from my church, and work is in the opposite direction. And Father only offers one Mass a day anyway. And it's not a holy day of obligation, but it's an important day nevertheless. The Annunciation actually was celebrated before Christmas was ever popular in the early church. The Feast of the Nativity of Christ comes into being, I think somewhere in the 400s. But the Annunciation, we have evidence of that being celebrated by the early church as early as the 200s in the catacombs. That's part of the reason why we know Christ was born on December 25th, by the way, because we know that the pregnancy of our Blessed Mother would have been perfect, which means it would have been exactly 9 months that would have passed between his incarnation in the womb on March the 25th and his incarnation in the flesh outside of the womb at his nativity. So we know that Christ was born on December 25th for that reason, and the date of the Annunciation being on March 25th dates back a very long time. So this is one of the most ancient feasts of the church, incredibly, incredibly important, and it's important to mark it in some way. Now, normally, because it's a joyful occasion, it would make sense to speak of all of the joys that our Blessed Mother experienced and that we experience whenever God showers us with graces. But our Blessed Mother has also said, when she appeared at Lourdes, she said to St. Bernadette, "I cannot promise you happiness in this life, but in the other." Or in this world, but in the other. I think it was in this world, but in the other. And tomorrow, being the Friday of Passion Week, celebration is really the wrong word to use, but perhaps not, of the seven sorrows of our Blessed Virgin Mary, of our Blessed Mother. And those sorrows were essential to making her the great saint, the greatest of saints, the queen of saints and the queen of heaven that she is. Our Blessed Mother was immaculate from her own conception. Even in the East, they would not argue that she was immaculate, at least from birth. There are some who claim that she was made immaculate by the conception of Christ. But it is generally acknowledged throughout all Orthodox, with a little O, Christians, that the Blessed Virgin Mary was not only perpetually virgin, but also perpetually immaculate. That is, free of the stain of sin. But even one who is free of sin must take the potential for greater holiness and turn it into that greater holiness, turn it into that exemplary holiness. And no one was better chosen for this task than our Blessed Mother, because she was uniquely sensitive, because of her immaculate nature, to the pains and sorrows and joys and glories that God made manifest to her. "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoiceth in God my Savior, for he that is mighty hath magnified me." There is an ecstatic rejoicing that accompanies the Magnificat, and one likewise that accompanies a sort of perfect faith that accompanies our Blessed Mother approaching our Lord at the wedding feast of Cana. And there is also a perfect sharing in the passion of our Lord on the way to Calvary. So much so that there are some who preach a doctrine called the Mary the Co-Redemptrix. I have my suspicions about this particular doctrine, personal suspicions, in large part because it is a doctrine that appears at it's a condemned apparition in Belgium, where a demon shows up in the guise of the Blessed Mother and basically preaches communism. I've for the life of me, I cannot remember what the name of the apparition is supposed to be, but in it, the co-redemptrix doctrine is emphasized very strongly. And I believe it's also been mentioned at the heretical Medjugorje, or Medjugorje, or whatever the pronunciation of that circus that they have going on in Bosnia. It's been mentioned there as well. And for that reason, I have my suspicions about it. Now, that having been said, we know that our Blessed Mother is the mediatrix of all graces, because Pope Pius XII formally defined her as such. And that had been mentioned both at legitimate and illegitimate apparitions in the past. So perhaps my judgment is too hasty, but I there's something about the co-redemptrix doctrine that doesn't smell right to me personally. Take that for what it is. But it is absolutely true, absolutely and indisputably true, that our Blessed Mother shared in a perfect way in the suffering and the passion of her Son. Because that's what all the saints seek to do. That's what we seek to do, is to share perfectly in his suffering and in his agonies. And she did this because she was so perfect. And so she is the perfect saint for that reason. She is the highest saint, the most perfect human being, purely, who is only human, who has ever... She's the most perfect human, the most perfect creature ever created. That's the way to distinguish her from our Lord, since he's not a creature. He's only begotten of the Father, co-eternal, even as a human being. And so, to reflect upon the sorrows of our Blessed Mother on even a joyful feast day is to recognize the supreme joy which she valued above all things because she was perfect. This life is a veil of sorrow. And our Blessed Mother, her entire life was one defined by the sorrows that she endured for God. To be found pregnant without a husband in Jewish society at that time, in Hebrew society at any time before that century, was an incredibly dangerous and deeply, deeply shameful prospect. And she would have had to count on the faith of those immediately around her to believe that she was indeed the virgin foretold by Isaiah. Which is, well, that's a big claim. And she was also betrothed to a man who would have offered her protection and sustenance and care, because her own father, St. Joachim, was no longer alive. And that would have been, that to be found pregnant would have destroyed all of that. So there's tremendous anxiety from the very beginning of her journey, tremendous anxiety and struggles. And that only gives way to greater struggles further on. She gives birth to Christ. Immediately they have to flee the country. She has Christ presented in the temple. She's given the prophecy of Simeon that a sword will pierce her heart, her soul, that she'll be cut to her very core with pain and anguish. And then when she loses her husband, St. Joseph dies long before Christ enters public life. She's a widow and has to raise a son as a widow without support, a young son. There's no one there to support her or help her. It must have been an incredibly impoverished life. And then her son goes into, he manifests himself as the Christ, goes forth and begins his ministry. And what's the first thing that he says to her? I don't need you anymore. When she comes to him at Cana, woman, what is that to me and thee? When she comes to visit him, seeking him as he's preaching, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Was she in the crowd that day when the woman cried out, blessed is the womb that bore thee and the paps that gave thee suck? And he responds, no. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed instead are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Not blessed also. Not blessed more. Blessed instead. And all of this is a message to her that there is no joy and no glory in this life that is not the Messiah that God promised. That is the Messiah that was born of the imaginations of the Jews, and that still possesses their imagination to this day. So much so that they have, well, that they've tried to manifest it themselves with the construction of that colony that they've built over there. It is the product of men's imagination to think that any perfection, holiness, or joy could ever be found from carnal and material things. Material things may convey holiness, like the golden candlesticks on the altar offered to God as a sacrifice to glorify Him, or the relics of saints to bring God's power to us. But in themselves, there is no heavenly joy. And our Blessed Mother was reminded of that constantly, and she was super sensitive to it. The result being that she was able to suffer in a unique way and join with our Lord in a unique way throughout His Passion. Only St. John the Apostle came as close as our Blessed Mother did to Christ in His Passion, which is probably why John received the honor of being the caretaker and guardian of the Blessed Mother. And in that regard, in the material world, in the family world, the light world of blood, he became Christ's successor. Just as Peter was Christ's successor in the church, John became Christ's successor in the home, in his family. And he took care for that. And so when we reflect on the seven sorrows of our Blessed Mother, what we're reflecting on is the degree of her perfection. That these sorrows were so unique that they allowed her to participate in a way that all of us should be longing for, but none of us really have, to participate in a special way in the crucifixion and the death of our Lord. And so when we talk about them tomorrow in more detail, which I will, that's one of the things that we should keep before us always, is that this is the means whereby our Blessed Mother achieved the greatest of sainthoods, that she perfectly accompanied our Lord in all of the worldly suffering, that she might share in the greatest glory that any creature could ever enjoy in the hereafter. And it is my prayer today that all of us, through the example of our Blessed Mother and her seven sorrows, should likewise attain the motivation and drive to seek after the same end, and having attained that motivation, that we may, through our own sharing in Christ's sufferings, by offering up all of our sufferings here on earth, that we may attain that glory and that joy in heaven bestowed by Christ upon His Mother and all of His saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.